Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to turn to a pretty familiar passage of Scripture. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Those of you who would be familiar, you know that in this chapter, we kind of know it as the woman that Jesus meets at the well and their conversation. I want us to look at it this morning, and maybe I trust the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and maybe bring something fresh to light. In us, and maybe for some of us it'll just be a reminder that will spur us on. Because when we go to a time of praise and worship after looking at the Scripture this morning, I want you to know that there's going to be an invitation. An invitation for those of you who would like, during the time of praise and worship, to get out of your seat and come and stand across the front and spend the time in worship and praise up here this morning. And for some, that's a stretch. I know that. Oh, I'm not accustomed to that. I've never done that. Or I've never been in a church where I've seen people do that. Normally, we just kind of stay in the pew and stand up and sit down. And I want this to be very much an interactive service, a celebration between us and the Lord. And I want you to know an invitation will come to come and worship the Lord. And for some, you just prefer to stay in your seat. I want you to know that that's okay. But we're going to open this up. And if you feel like you're spiritually stagnant, or you just need something to get you over the hump, or you're facing something, or you're a little troubled, or maybe you're just thirsty and hungry for the Lord, and you just need a spiritual renewal. I want you to know that this morning in this room, I'm going to believe that the Lord's going to answer those things and answer those prayers. We are not here to play church and just go through the motions and call it good. Okay? This is not drive-through church. Okay? This is come and camp here for a little while and allow God to do something significant and meaningful in our hearts and lives. And so this morning, I want us to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Before I begin to read, if you're here and you do not have a Bible, in the pew rack in front of you, there are Bibles there. If you want to follow along, you can take that Bible out, turn to the Gospel of John. If you're not sure where that's at the front, you'll see a table of contents, and it'll tell you what page to get to. So the Gospel of John, chapter 4. By the way, those Bibles, if you don't have a Bible of your own, you can take that Bible with you. You can open the cover up, write your name in it, take it with you. That Bible is yours. That's a gift to you from the Lord. We want you to have a Bible if you don't have one. So here we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not do the baptizing, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied, tired as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour of the day. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?'" For we have to understand that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. There was a bit of a rift there. "Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman replies to Jesus and says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And we'll just stop right there. I want us to pull a couple things out of this passage for us this morning as we're about to enter into a time of praise and adoration to the Lord. Jacob's well is mentioned here, and we know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And Jacob's well was dug here, and that, you know, that takes a lot of work. You have to understand that the opening of some of these wells could be about 10 foot in diameter. Some were a little bit smaller. And they say now that Jacob's well, before this, in history, when they since have built kind of a church over this well, it was about 75 feet deep, and actually back in history further, in Bible times, it would have been much deeper than that. The interesting thing about this well is it is not fed, this particular well is not fed by a cold spring. It was a well that simply accumulated water by rainfall and moisture that was in the ground that would seep into this hole. And so this well was kind of seasonal. It was not a year-round well. Through the rainy season, it would accumulate, and you could get water. But in the dry season, this well didn't really have much water. And so we have a little glimpse of history that Jacob's well, he drank from it. His son drank from it, their livestock. Also, the location of this well would have been also used by passerbys, because this well was a bit out of the way, but it was also at a junction point of travel to different places. And so it was a really quite a rural site where this well was at, outside of what they said was a city. And so this well that was dug by Jacob... He had this well dug and did it for himself, for livestock, but also to be a person that is peaceable, that others could come and pass by and get a drink. And so there was a bit of benevolence on Jacob's part on this well, in having this well. Well, like I said, this takes a lot of work. But you know, when they drank from this well, they had to come back again, didn't they? Right? It didn't satisfy their thirst forever. And I want you to know that man-made things, things that factories make, things that you can make in your garage, or things that you make in the kitchen and all of that, the things that we put together, they are nice, we enjoy them, but they don't bring a long-term satisfaction. The things of this world, the gifts that God has given people to, with a skill, the resources that He has provided us here on earth to use and make things and manufacture things and build things and bake things and all of this, we have to continue to come back. And let's face it, the new car smell fades away, right? And then you're on looking at something else that's different. It happens to all of us. And I want us to be reminded that we appreciate these things in our life and the resources God has given, the talents, the world, the part of the world where we live in that, you know, we're by and large just consumers. You know, we go online, we can price check and shop and walk up to the register with your phone and say, "I got a better price somewhere else, look at this," and they honor it. And you know, you'll give your phone and they scan a barcode and everything else, and we just kind of pick and choose and do this stuff. And it's becoming norm for these generations younger than myself. It's interesting that Jesus asks her for a drink of water, and she quickly looks at him and says, "You have nothing to draw with." The reason Jesus has nothing to draw with is because he is the living water. See? He is the living water. He's it. He's what satisfies the thirst. He is the eternal one. He is the King of Kings, the only begotten of God, the friend of sinners, coming to seek and save sick people like me, like you. Those who are lost, the kind of wrapped up in other stuff. Those who are chasing around after, I don't know, the American dream or whatever you want to call it, with these things that are made by the hands of men. You can't go to any store and buy living water. Jesus is the living water. And as she was coming to draw from the well, Jesus transitions from this earthly plane and brings her into spiritual hope that outlasts the water that she's got to keep coming back for. Jesus is the living water. I want you to say it with me. Jesus is the living water. Another significance in Jacob's well is that Jacob was digging this well for himself, for family, for passerbys, and for his livestock. That was the extent of his vision for this well. He could not see through time that the very Son of God would come and sit by the well he's digging. He couldn't see through time that there would be an occasion, a meeting, where the Son of God would come and sit by this well, and a woman would come who's lost, who's broken. And if you were to read on with the story, you would understand that she's had a pretty broken life and a lot of heartbreak, and she's a bit of an outcast in her own community. He couldn't see through time the well he was digging would be a meeting place for the Son of Man and a broken woman. I want you to pay attention to that, because there are things that you and I can do in our life that will have a futuristic effect for the gospel that we can't see today. We may be doing something for a friend. We may be doing something for ourselves, for whatever reason in the community. But in what we do and how we do it, that there is a possibility that God can use that to reach somebody. So the things that we do in this life, we need to have a little further vision. A little further vision in what we're doing, when we're doing it, how we're doing it, because of people watching, people assessing. That somebody can take something you made and use it to reach somebody else. In this context, turn to the person next to you and say, be a well digger. A well digger. I'll just tell you, it's kind of a thankless job. And it's hard work. But many can find relief and solace and peace and rest and a quenching of thirst from a hard life. This chapter 4 in John, we focus many times on the living water, which is true, that it will be like we drink of this, it'll bubble up within us like a wellspring of life. You'll see that further in the passage. Oh, we drink of Jesus, and it is this life-giving flow that happens in us that we can't find anywhere else, and that can last us through this lifetime as we follow Him and into eternity. But we forget sometimes that the meeting place was a well and somebody had to dig it. Somebody had to dig it. Somebody had to build it. I want you to pay attention to the things in our life where we need to dig a well that will hold something of value for other people. Something that they can encounter Jesus in an everlasting life, a faith, a living water. They probably need to see it in us first, that they could wonder, that they could thirst, that they in some way could have some admiration of the presence of God in our life. We know it's not us. It's Him. And we have to continue to drink of Him and let this living water flow from our life. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I only know where I'm at. And sometimes we give, you know, signals to discerning people of where we're at spiritually by maybe our countenance, the way that we live our life, the things we say, the things we do or don't do, the things we don't say. Things that can implicate us in a where we're at spiritually. But the thing is, the Lord knows where we're at. And He's not throwing guilt on us. He's saying, come and drink. Come and drink. The Lord is the life spring. It is Him. All the things that we thirst for and desire and want and all of that, listen, it can go by the wayside. And most of it will, mind you. Okay? It's all going to end up in the wayside. All right? The things that you treasure that you want to give to your children, they'll probably treasure for a while, and then it's going to sit in the field. Or the person they marry is going to end up selling it in a rummage sale. Because it didn't mean much to them. I stayed away from accusing genders. Did you know how I did that? Yeah, that was very good. Behaved myself. Listen, it's going to end up at the wayside. When people are in their final days and they know it, they're not clinging to their stuff. They're not. I get to see a lot of them in their final days. And they're not clinging to their stuff. They're not up in intensive care and saying, hey, could you figure out a way to just bring my boat up here? I just gotta see my boat one more time. They're on the threshold of eternity. Who cares about the boat? I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know how you walked into this place today and what you carry with you and what hinders you or what from your past is bothering you. But I'm going to ask you to break free of it. I'm going to ask you to make a journey from where you sit today to a well. To a well where you can come and you can drink of His presence. And you can worship Him and praise Him. And though you're in a crowd, you don't have to be hindered and be self-aware and who's looking and what is this all about. You just come with a thirst and a hunger. You know, people who are desperate, they all of a sudden forget reputation and what people think of them. Did you know that? Yeah. They're desperate. Oh, yes. They're so desperate and in a rush that some of them will even leave their home without makeup on. They will leave their house and their man fleecy sleepy pants. Because they got to, you know, somebody needs, I got to go. You don't care what people think. You don't care about your title. You leave it behind. You drop what you're doing. The house is on fire, you drop what you're doing and you rally the people. Right? And then your firearms, and then, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Your pets, yes, I don't want the pet lovers to get mad. What about my pet? Listen, we rally what's important. What's important to you today? That you would drink of something, drink of Him. It would lift your head, brighten your eyes. You know how it is when you're dehydrated. You know how it is when you're worn out. You know how it is to be beat up. You know how it is to walk under condemnation. You know what it is to walk under judgment. You know what it is to walk under some people's misunderstandings of you. You know what all that is. I know what it is. Leave it all behind and come and drink that your soul would be satisfied. That woman drank of who Jesus is. And it affected the whole town. If it was possible that Jacob was looking on, that he could be looking on and saying, I am so glad that I dug that well. I'm so glad we dug that well. Hey, come over here. You helped with this well. Look at this. Look at this. That's Jesus. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but he's meeting a woman and she's finding salvation. Look at her. She's going to town and getting the other people to come out to meet him. That Jacob could look on. He could look on. Say, wow, that's the greatest thing that ever happened at that well. I remember when I was so thirsty, I drank from that well. Oh, it just meant so much to me. But that was nothing compared to this. Maybe you need a spiritual renewal. Maybe you've just been stagnant. Maybe you've never had a renewal in His presence, a joy in His presence, an overwhelming sense of His presence that come upon you. I want you to know that you can have that today. Right here. Right here. In just a moment. Right here. In this place. Anytime there's an invitation, I have to identify something in me that maybe goes on in other people. And that is, if there's an invitation, what holds me back from participating? Is it that I don't want to go? Is it, it takes too much effort? Or, I'm just good the way I am. And something like everlasting water, a refreshing, a renewal, can come to you. Will you break out from that which you are so familiar with to express a thirst and a hunger and drink of a reviving and of a revival and a spiritual awakening in our soul? Or are we just going to continue to go through life and call it good? We allow Him to baptize you with a fresh fire, a fresh passion. And sometimes before that comes, there has to be this emptying of ourself, putting away our pride, our arrogance, putting away our titles, our achievements, putting away things that people think about us, emptying ourselves of unforgiveness. And for some, they just weep and they just need this flushing out of the soul. For others, it's a confession, and they just and all of a sudden we're making room for the Spirit of God to do something fresh, new in our life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.